Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Malonzo, and you. I'm going to play a little game here. Little game that I am calling Pause or Panic. The game is simple. We are going to run through a list of teams from both the college and professional ranks. And Lonzo and I are going to take 60-ish seconds for each of them to say whether it is time to push the pause button. Relax. It's early in the season. Take a break. Take a chill pill, Phil, and give them a chance to gel a little bit more. Or if we should, like every missile launch button in every movie, flip up that big square plastic lid and hammer the panic button on this team. Let's get to it, shall we? Let's start with the college ranks. And let's start with the two teams we have talked about so far this morning. Zoe, pause or panic on the Gamecocks of South Carolina.
See, the problem with this is what were the expectations? And, team expectations are always going to say national championship, but what were the real expectations? What were the expectations of the fan? And if I'm going to come at this from a fan perspective, panic, especially if Lenora Sellers is out for a couple of games, because you may not even make a bowl game.
I am going to say pause with the caveat that I don't have an issue with you saying panic. I'm going to say pause with the addendum that I am absolutely fine with anybody who says we are panicked. And I'll tell you why. Because I came into this year saying, you asked what the expectations are. I actually think we have a pretty good barometer on what the expectations are. Because every year before the season starts, we do a couple of shows where we ask fans of Clemson, of South Carolina, and of the Carolina Panthers, what is your realistic ceiling and floor for this football program? And I think once we average together all of the ceilings and floors from the fans, we kind of take the middle ground, and I think that's a fair expectation. We had a couple of 11-1s. But the most optimistic view from most Gamecock fans that we talked to on this show, most of them said 10-2 is the ceiling, 8-4 is the floor. So let's say the expectations were probably 9-3. And I said, hey, I think 9-3 out of the Southeastern Conference might be good enough to get you into a playoff this year, provided the three are all two high-ranked teams. Your three, Vandy's ranked now, but at the time you played them, they weren't. Again, I think the rankings are dumb and or bogus, but hey, that's not what matters, how I feel about it. It's with the folks who will gather in a ballroom in Dallas, Texas on November 3rd to cast their votes. Think about it. Now, I'm going to say pause because I think there's plenty of time to get it right. I'm going to say pause because I think there is enough time for this team to go back and say, you know what, guys? Yes, Lenoris is a dog. Yes, he's a very talented football player, but Like, we have to fight. And we did not fight. Dude, does any Gamecock fan think that your team put up a fight in that L to Vanderbilt this weekend? I do not. I think you rolled over and showed your underbelly. And that's just not good enough. So for that reason, I'm fine if you say panic. That being said, that's the first time it happened. SC State, you fought. Virginia Tech, you fought. It can be done. So I'm going to say pause. No issue with people who say panic. What about Clemson? So pause or panic for the Clemson Tigers?
Pause.
Really? As in P-A-W-S? Or as in P-A-U-S-E?
That's pretty funny. It would never be the former for me. I'm still not sold on the rest of the ACC. And Clemson could have won that game. They probably should have won that game. So I don't think they're that far removed to where they're – I don't think they're that bad of a team. There's a reason why they were projected to do as well as people thought they were, because they have pieces there, and it's just according to how Cade recovers. If Cade recovers, plays a really good game and doesn't make dumb mistakes, they're going to win a bunch more games. So I say pause.
We all find ourselves opposite again. I'm going to say panic, and I'll tell you why. Game number one against LSU, you got dominated. Granted, you walked out of there with a one-score game. LSU had one touchdown taken off the board that, as far as I'm concerned, was a touchdown, could have been a two-score game. Realistically speaking, that game felt like it was a three-score win for LSU. And I am now at the point where, to keep it a buck with you, I think LSU's overrated at number three. I do not think that they're the third-best team in the country right now. In fact, I think quite the opposite. I think the slow win against the Cupcake last week, followed by walking out at home against Florida with a 10-point victory in a game where their interception rate was five interceptions thrown by DJ Lagway. I got to apologize for that, too, because I got tricked. I got bamboozled, swindled, hoodwinked, and fooled by DJ Lagway. It is just proof, ladies and gentlemen, that with charisma, you can fake anybody out. So, five picks against Florida, they won by 10. That loss doesn't look as good for Clemson as it did coming out of week one. You just lost to Georgia Tech, who is, again, and I put that game as an upset alert game months ago. Nailed it. Even still, you were a better football team, and they got you. And here's the thing. Between LSU to Troy, a game which you should be embarrassed by, and then on the road at Georgia Tech, let me ask you a sincere question. What got better? What got better? The effort hasn't gotten better. The grit hasn't gotten better. The offense certainly hasn't gotten better. The run game has not gotten better. The passing game hasn't gotten better. Cade hasn't gotten better. The offensive line hasn't gotten better. The play calling hasn't gotten better. What's gotten better? I've got nothing that's gotten better. So I'm going to push the panic button. Notre Dame, 0-2, still a top 25 team because reasons. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish are 0-2. Now, in fairness to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, they are 0-2 against two top 17 teams, as they did lose to Texas A&M. And by the way, keep in mind, A&M was another one of those teams that coming into the year, I said, you better watch out for those guys, because Mike Elko, as much as a David Nuno, friend of the show, who covers the Aggies, called him stoic. I just think he's a stick in the mud. But he is a football dude. Marcel Reed is a quarterback, 17 of 37, not a great percentage, but 360 yards, a couple of tutties in this game, and they ran for a buck 28 behind Le'Veon Moss. They knock off Notre Dame. Notre Dame was at the crib. Notre Dame loses to Miami back in week one. So I think this one might be the most interesting one. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Alonzo, pause or panic?
Panic. They're done. I mean, because they're not in a conference, they have to win the majority of the
game. They have to win out.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So they are done.
They have to win out, in my opinion. I don't disagree with that. I think it's fair to say panic. Because I do think they will have to win out. But I would also say, I think you have gotten through, unless this USC team is for real. All right, they are 3-0. They are somehow ranked behind Notre Dame at 0-2, which is hilarious to me. But unless this USC team is real, Notre Dame's done with their schedule. I mean, maybe on the road at Arkansas gets a little interesting. But you got Arky, Boise State, NC State, number 25 USC, Boston College, Navy, Pitt, Syracuse, and Stanford. Like, they have to win out and probably get a little help, to be honest. For that reason, I'm going to say pause under. They didn't hang 40 on Texas A&M, right? They just lost by one. And they hung 40 and they missed an extra point that would have forced that game to overtime unless Mike Elko did something special. I'm going to say pause on Notre Dame. But it is only because they got ranked 24th in the country. They are 0-2. I believe, in fact, let me check this because I want to make sure. I believe they are the only winless team inside of the top 25. In fact, I'm 99. Yeah, they are. They are the only team without a win inside the top 25. They are ranked ahead of USC, BYU, South Florida, who has two ranked wins and one loss to a top five team. And Notre Dame is ranked ahead of South Florida. They're ahead of 2-1 South Carolina. They're ahead of Mississippi State, who beat Arizona State. They're ahead of TCU, Arizona State, Tulane, Louisville, Nebraska, Baylor, Clemson, SMU, NC State, UNLV, and Navy. All have votes. Like, what? What? But for that reason, pause. How about the Texas Longhorns, though? Pause or panic for an undefeated Texas team that just dropped behind Florida State in the rankings down to number 8.
They're undefeated, and they dropped out. Well, just because Florida State.
And Florida State didn't play this weekend.
Florida State's exciting to watch.
Florida State, well, Texas, I mean, through two games, they certainly
Texas
are.
Texas is still. And the Texas did lose to Ohio State.
That they did.
Have they won an SEC game?
They have not played anybody in a power conference outside of Ohio State. They have a win over San Jose State, and they have a win over the UTEP Miners, where Arch Manning went 11 of 25 for 114, a tutty and a pick.
I'm trying not to be that guy, but yeah, you should panic if you're Texas.
I think so, man. Like, this Texas team right now, are they beating Georgia? Probably not. Here, I'll give you where I think they are. Are they beating Alabama right now? I don't think so. Alabama put it on Wisconsin this weekend. I don't think they are. Like, it's not ideal. All right, let's get one or two more college ones in here. We'll do some NFL coming up later on the show. This one I feel like is probably the most easy one on the list, but, you know, got to do it anyway. The Mighty Gators of Florida, Lonzo, pause or panic?
Oh, panic.
Yeah.
We should run back into the swamp. Hide.
Not great, Bob. Not great, Bob. I absolutely think the answer here is panic. I think the answer here is panic, and I'm going to say this one is really interesting because Billy Napier was the hire of new athletic director Scott Strickland. Scott Strickland, guess what happened to him this offseason? He got a big old fat raise and extension as the athletic director of the University of Florida. This is his hire. I have called out in the past, there are times where your AD is actually a bigger problem than your head coach. Because your head coach might be a problem, but your AD, when that is their hire, their AD may give them too much leniency, credit, time to get it right. And the more time that you give a coach who clearly isn't working to get it right, the further backwards you end up sliding. I think that's where Florida is right now. Like, I look at the problems that the Florida Gators have and loss to South Florida, loss on the road at LSU in a winnable game that their quarterback, who was supposed, this was it. This was his year. Like, they were sold. We're a playoff team. And their quarterback throws five, have I mentioned that yet in the show? Five picks in that game. Of all the teams that we have mentioned so far, and we're going to do this again for the NFL coming up later on in the show. If I was Florida, I am not lifting up the plastic cover and pushing the pause button. I am carrying kerosene and a lighter to the bottom of the nuke, and I'm doing whatever I got to do to set that thing off on my own. Like, oh, this is problematic for the Gators of Florida. Problematic because, remember my biggest complaint a few minutes ago when we were talking about the Clemson loss to Georgia Tech, where I said I'm really tired of the platitudes from Dabo Swinney. I'm really tired of the gosh willikers. We're fine. We've won a bunch of seasons where we've won 10 games. Everything's amazing. Don't worry about poor little old Clemson. We got great dudes. We got great guys. We got guys who want to be here. I mean, that's all well and good if you want to be 10-2, 9-3. Maybe fight your way into an ACC title game. But one ACC game deep and you are already behind the metaphorical eight ball. Florida, just as bad. Just as bad. Because I got Billy Napier. The play calling was abysmal. It has clearly not been throttled down to take care of DJ Lagway and get him into any sort of rhythm and routine. They go into the press conference. They're like, yo, Billy, play calling on you. You good? You stay? And he's like, yeah, why would you ask me that question? Why would you say that? Why would you, like, he was almost indignant that after his quarterback threw five INTs in one game, anybody would have the audacity to ask him, hey, bud, you going to change anything, or are you just going, keep on keeping on? And he's like, I'm going to keep on keeping on with my quarterback who just threw five picks. But LSU still only won by 10, so, and for the record, that's more on LSU than it is on Florida. Florida should have lost that game by 35. Florida should have got hammered in that game. The reason they didn't get hammered in that game is because I think this LSU team is overrated. After the win over Clemson, I was like, uh-oh, maybe this team's for real. But after seeing what LSU did in week two, where they looked bad against SC LSU, and in week three, where they got five picks and still barely walked up out of there with a dub over Florida, and the fact that Clemson lost on the road to Georgia Tech, this LSU team might be a little bit overhyped. Brian Kelly might not be taking care of the family the way that we all thought he was. We'll see. All right, so Lonzo and I are different. He says, panic for the Gamecocks, I say pause. We're different on the Tigers. He says, pause for the Tigers, I say panic. We both agree. Did you say panic or pause for Notre Dame? I forgot.
Oh, panic.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's what I thought. We're different on the Irish. He says panic. I say pause. We're both in agreement that the Longhorns and the Gators need to be in a flat-out panic right now. All right. We'll come back and we'll do that again for the NFL. Now, here's what we got going on when we come back. Let us react to a couple of the NFL headlines and results from over the weekend. John Blau of the Post and Courier joins us at 8:40. Final hour of the show is whatever y'all want to get to. That is all coming up when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. We've talked a lot of college football so far this morning. We got John Blau of the Post and Courier coming up in the next segment of the show. We'll get his thoughts on Clemson's loss at Georgia Tech this weekend, and we will find out what the changes, if any, will be for this football team moving into the meat and potatoes of the ACC calendar coming up very shortly. But before we get there, let's get to some of the Headlines from the National Football League. Carolina. Okay. You're losing 20-3 at the halftime whistle. And it looks like this game is well on its way to being an absolute blowout. Carolina comes out. They are losing worse at the end of the third quarter. Then they go put 13 on the board in the fourth. They close the gap to 5 points. They end up with the football with just a few minutes left to play in this game. And a valiant come-from-behind effort to try to turn this into something comes up just short. Got a couple of tutty passes to Hunter Renfrow. Here's two thoughts that I had on the game. Number one, and this is the one that I think is probably going to be less controversial. I want you to hear me out and then think about how I think this is less controversial when I get to point number two. Completely unimpressed by the come-from-behind effort of the Carolina Panthers. Completely unimpressed. And I was unimpressed not because the team didn't show. This is going to be, I think, a big part of the theme of the show today. Not because the team didn't show some heart and some fight. They very clearly did to fight their way back into this one. The reason I was unimpressed is because if you watch what Arizona was doing early in this game on defense, and then what Arizona was doing in the third and early fourth quarter of this game, different football team, different style, different tactics, different effort. Once Arizona built up their lead to be a decent-sized lead, the aggression level went from like a 9 down to like a 2. All of a sudden, it was prevent defenses. All of a sudden, it was bringing 3 instead of 4, bringing 4 but never 5. They basically said to Carolina, look, you haven't really been a threat to us offensively. You've pretty much just kind of been dinking and dunking your way down the football field. So we're cool. We're cool with that. If that's what you want to do, we're going to let you do that. We will be fine to live in a world where you just kind of do your thing as long as you're not getting into the end zone. And then we got late into the game. Carolina all of a sudden puts up 13 in the fourth. They're down by 5. And on that final drive, with the game in the balance, then Arizona went back to playing defense the way they were playing defense in the first half. And then all of a sudden, Carolina couldn't get much going at all after that. So here's the second take, what I think is going to be the more controversial of the two, though we will find out. When Jalen Coker comes back, this team is going to have to make a roster move. They are, of the wide receivers on this team, or maybe the tight ends, somebody's going to have to move down to the practice squad or get cut outright. It's Xavier Leggett. He's the guy. He's got to be the sacrificial lamb. After this game, is there a world where any of you can, in terms of football only, is there a world that you can justify keeping Xavier Leggett on this roster and cutting Hunter Renfrow? Is there a world? When Hunter Renfrow this weekend kind of started to fold into the Adam Thielen slot, being the go-to, the comfort zone for Bryce Young, he had the little out route. Joey B sent me this text during the game on Sunday, and I think he knocked it out of the park. Hunter Renfrow's the best wide receiver in the NFL inside of 7 yards. Right? Like passes inside of seven yards.
I still would put Thielen ahead of him, but I get what he's saying. Back in the day, Tom Brady had a couple of those guys.
Tom Brady made his money with those guys.
Yes.
Right?
He did.
And the thing is,
so you can win with those guys.
Oh, for sure. In fact, I would make the argument that Carolina should be winning with those guys. Like, that's what this offense for right now should be. Because winning with those guys is how you open up the field for Teteroa McMillan to do some more of the things he did. Six grabs, 100 yards in this one.
I thought he looked pretty good.
I thought he looked really good. But how do you open the field up for him so that he doesn't go MIA in the fourth quarter when the game's actually tight and Arizona starts throwing of the DBs they have, which are pretty good, throwing two dudes or sometimes two dudes with an over-the-top safety on four? The answer is you be dominant with the underneath stuff and you don't let them do that to Teteroa McMillan. When Hunter Renfrow started getting into a rhythm, all of a sudden, McMillan started seeing a lot more single coverage.
Is Arizona good? I mean, because they've only beat the NFC South so far. I mean,
I have got them right now. If I'm power ranking these teams, probably checking in around 11, 10, 11.
I don't know.
But I agree. I also think, again, power rankings are tough 2 weeks into the year because of the sample size, especially when, you know, Arizona's played New Orleans and Carolina. Although New Orleans didn't look atrocious yesterday. They looked great, but they didn't look atrocious. Spencer certainly didn't look bad. First multi-touchdown game. He looked a lot better. And, oh, by the way, had at least four drops yesterday. Olave dropped one that would have been a touchdown. Juwan Johnson dropped two. He did score one on a pretty ridiculous circus catch, but not the point. We'll come back to that later. The point here is you dink and dunk to death until you can open up the field. And I felt like once Arizona got aggressive again, I feel like the offensive line is drastically underperforming from what I expect. I feel like in part, not exclusively because of, but in part of that, although the numbers yesterday looked really good for Bryce Young, 35 of 55, 328, three tutties and a pick. I think there were some spots where BY is playing panicked, which, again, understandable. Just like Joe Burrow. Like, of course he's panicked playing behind what he's playing behind right now. Granted, this offensive line should be dramatically better than it is.
Was that the Nickelodeon game? Because I saw some slime stuff on the...
Because
they replay that later with the Nickelodeon stuff on there.
I don't know. Also, somebody earlier called it the McDonald's Happy Meal Bowl.
It was Steven. That was great.
Good job, Steven.
I was bringing that up to get back to that comment because I saw the splash and thought, what better quarterbacks for this to be the Nickelodeon game?
Oh, Kyler, I need to work on your fashion choice, buddy. All right.
Did we see them side by side? Because I don't...
You know what? I didn't even think about looking for that.
I don't think we've ever seen them side by side.
There's got to be a post-game handshake, right?
Yeah.
Got to be. We got to see if we can find that.
I am so curious.
Yeah, we got to see if we can find it. Yeah, because Kyler Murray's 6'3", from what we've been told. So, that's got it. Like, he had a dwarf BY.
I have never laughed in the face of anyone before like that. That was just...
So, I was unimpressed by the comeback, and after having watched this game, Xavier Leggett's got to go. He's just not there, all right? And after the offseason that you had, I'm not saying I expected you to show up at the beginning of the year and look like Calvin Johnson, but, dude, I'm looking for some sign of football intelligence, and it's just not there. Eight targets, one catch for minus 2 yards. That's his numbers in this game. Xavier Leggett would have been better for the team by not playing. He would have had better numbers if he didn't play. That's not it. It's just not. I love the guy. He's a content machine. I will be sad to see him go. I think, although I do not care about it from an NFL perspective, I think it is always great when the pro team is able to feature guys from the local colleges and or universities on the squad. So great to have a Gamecock out there, but Xavier Leggett's not it. When Jalen Coker, in what, two more weeks, comes off the IR and is able to join the active roster, Xavier Leggett gets sent down. Look, dude, we're going to put you on the practice squad. We're going to give you this season on the practice squad to figure it out, right? But I hate to say this because I absolutely took advantage of it. But I'm at the point now where I am relatively convinced Xavier Leggett spent his offseason figuring out how to become a media star instead of becoming a better football player. Or, and this is worse, and I don't want to make this assumption of him because I don't think it's true, But the other option is he just doesn't have it. He's been able to, and I think that we've seen this happen with college guys in the past. I think there is a chance that Xavier Legette was able to coast by on raw athleticism for so long that he never really had to learn how to be a wide receiver. He was just the guy who for a very long time was very capable of run down there real fast, be faster than all those guys. And these quarterbacks, knowing how talented you are going to find you. Just get down there, get one-on-one with a DB who's half your size, and Spencer Rattler will find you somehow. And he never had to play wide receiver. And I think it's shining through right now. I called him out on it last week. It got worse this week somehow. When Jalen Coker comes back, Xavier Legette is the roster spot sacrificed for him, not Hunter Renfro. I've got to have Hunter Renfro on this team. Xavier Legette's added nothing this season. It pains me to say, but it's nothing. James said Panthers have an O-line problem. I agree, which sucks, because on paper, they're one of the best 10 offensive lines in football. But where they are right now, not so fast, my friend. Let's take a break. We'll come back. John Blau. I know this. We do it every Monday at 8:40, which is up next. John Blau with the Post and Courier breaks down the Georgia Tech loss and where Clemson goes from here next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one, Lonzo. We are glad to have you with us as we react on a, well, actually Monday, where we overreact to the overreactions from fans and analysts from around.
You know what? I don't think there have been any overreactions at all today, really.
I don't think there has been one.
No.
I've been nailing it. We'll find out. Because joining us now on the radio program, a young man who covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier, Mr. John Blau, joins us as he does at 8:40 every Monday morning. John, welcome back, guy. Let's make the first one easy. What the hell happened?
They're 1-2. I actually kind of remember, I don't know if it was this radio show or another one, right? I said the Georgia Tech game was going to be a tough one. LSU's tough as well, that it was entirely possible they could start 1-2. But obviously, with the preseason hype and what everybody expected in terms of the steps forward everybody thought the offense might take with bringing basically everybody back, it's obviously, you know, well below expectations to have them sitting here at 1-2. But yeah, I mean, they took a step forward. I would say offensively, defensively took a little bit of a step back. Haynes King absolutely ripped them apart on the ground. Obviously, Georgia Tech hits a 55-yard field goal, walk-off fire drill. So it was a close game, but at the end of the day, obviously, again, a lot of panic and a lot of disappointment from Clemson fans right now.
Without a doubt, John Blau, and obviously plenty of blame to go around from those Clemson fans. We have had some of them that have wanted to put it on Dabo. We have had a lot of them want to put it on Garrett Riley. Some of them have started to put it on Cade Klubnik, Adam Randall, insert your player of choice here. A lot of different places to put blame. And I know it's not our job to put blame on anyone, But if I had to ask you, if you had to, or talk around it if you wish, what would you say was the biggest one or two problems that led to this? Or, and to me, this is kind of the answer. I've had this game as an upset alert since, like, well into the preseason. Is Dabo right in just saying, hey, that's a really good football team and we just got beat?
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of right. I mean, I think it's a lot of different things. Again, I'm going to end up probably, like you said, talking around the answer. But, you know, offensively, better than they've been, but still not, you know, as consistent as you need them to be. Obviously, those two turnovers from Kate Klubnik, the fumble on the first drive, it actually seemed like he had a nice rhythm going, and then he fumbles it on a run. Obviously, the interception in the red zone, the drop by Wesco on third down. You know, just not the explosiveness that you expect. Better, but not quite where you want it to be. Obviously, defensively, again, you know, Dabo's talking about softness on the edge. I mean, the corners not really tackling well in space, the tiger position, the hybrid nickel defender, and that defense not really making tackles, not making plays. And then, yeah, you got a point to the very top at Dabo, because obviously he says, like he has, that, you know, we're a couple of plays away from being 3-0, which is true. Obviously, they drove all the way down the field at the end of the LSU game, almost tied that game up. You know, obviously, again, fire drill, field goal at the end against Georgia Tech. But obviously, this program's been in better places. They obviously went to 6 straight CFPs, won a couple of national titles in 3 years. And you used to have those games where you made a few mistakes, but you were so much more talented than the other team that it still was a 10-point win, a 14-point win, a 3-point win maybe. But now those you know, closer games have become really close, and now close losses, which that's a little bit of a regression. Is that just the quarterback? Is that other, you know, issues across the roster? But this isn't the same Clemson program that people were accustomed to watching in the 20 teens, and you know, and that's led to, again, another not so great start for them.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. That is certainly something I've said a couple of times so far this morning, John. Like, it doesn't feel to me, and I'm just a nobody moron with a microphone, but the one thing I would say about this team is it feels disjointed. It does not feel like it has the chemistry that those primetime Dabo Swinney teams had. It feels a little disjointed. There are spots where it feels like Cade's not in sync with the offense. The offense isn't in sync with each other. Where is that? Is this that Dabo philosophy and it's preventing the team from enhancing? Is it a roster building problem? Or is this just kind of a mystery that it's on Dabo to find out?
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard from the outside to really know. Obviously, are the players being put in the wrong positions? Is it the coaching? If you had a different offensive coordinator, say, could they get Cade to see things clearer and be able to, you know, maybe dial up some better plays and put him in better positions? Or is this, you know, pretty good play calling, but the quarterback's not executing, things like that? But I do think it's fair to point, you know, a lot at Cade, just in terms of, you know, not really being able to always find the right read, turning over the ball, things like that. Things that he can clean up. We saw him do it better last year, but it's probably fair to say he has not taken the step forward. You know, I think we all maybe thought, you know, that trajectory continues to point up. He made that jump from sophomore to junior year, that there'll be another jump junior to senior year. We just really haven't seen that thus far. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but haven't seen it thus far. And then, you know, Adam Randall has ran the ball really well. You know, he had 5 yards per carry. Obviously, he had that huge, I think it was 30-yard run on a 3rd and 22. They obviously don't take the lead without him. But at the same time, the fact that a converted wide receiver is your number one running back and there isn't somebody else there, that is probably another area you can point at in terms of the running back recruiting, in terms of the level that room is at. It's not where, obviously, when you had the, you know, Travis Etienne's, the Wayne Gallman, some of these other guys in the past. You don't really quite have that right now. And so I think that's a huge issue as well. Defensively, obviously, weren't good last year. It feels like they've taken steps forward, but you would also expect that with a new scheme, they're going to get better as the year goes on because they're not 100% there yet. So I would say most of it goes on the offense. maybe a little bit of player identification and recruiting, roster construction, unknown as far as, again, coaching and what they could do better there, just because I'm not in the meetings. But definitely, again, some issues, not where you want to be, for sure.
John Blau joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. So I'll ask you a question that I asked of Clemson fans earlier in the show, John Blau, who said I was probably jumping a little far as hitting the panic button, which I, because of the heightened expectations coming into this year, consensus ACC champs, threat to win the Natty, et cetera, you started 1-2. If I asked you, what's gotten better from week one to week three? If we're trying to find the silver lining, to be optimistic, hey, 10-2 is still out there. Win an ACC championship, tough. You're behind the eight ball, but still very possible. But you got to be getting better week by week. If I ask you what's gotten better, do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say if the offensive line played pretty well two days ago, considering the fact they're still missing Tristan Lee and they did not look that good against Troy. I mean, there was a step forward taken there. Again, I'll even say Cade has looked better. The LSU game was really bad. Just looked very panicked, not good at all for a half, not very good against Troy. And he was better for most of the game against Georgia Tech. I would say that, defensive line, linebackers have played pretty well. The safeties have been better maybe than you expect. But again, softness on the edge defensively, not the receivers, not quite, haven't seen much of TJ Moore yet. Obviously, Wesco's made some big plays. That one drop was huge in the loss. But I guess, again, I'm veering off to negative things. I guess just staying on the positive, yeah, I would say they've taken steps forward offensively. It's just not enough steps forward. But certainly possible in the coming weeks, obviously against Syracuse, North Carolina, Boston College, you continue to take steps forward, build some confidence, some more rhythm. Maybe this could be, a slightly more than competent to good offense. Does it become a great elite offense like we were all expecting? Remains to be seen, but maybe you can get to a better place where you play a little more complimentary football and win some football games.
I heard Dabo specifically use the words complimentary football, and I mean, I think anybody who watched that game gets it. It did feel, like I said, disjointed at a number of times. Last one, John Blau, I'm going to let you go. You've got three games in a row where you are a clear favorite, like you mentioned, at home against Syracuse this weekend, then you're at North Carolina, at Boston College. What do you want to see out of this Clemson team if they are going to get themselves back into the national conversation after being dropped out of the AP Top 25 entirely? What do we need to see cleaned up in these next 3 weeks before we get to SMU, Duke, a resurgent Florida State team, Louisville that can throw for 1,000 yards in a game? What do we need to see out of this team to convince you they should still be in the national conversation?
Yeah, I mean, going back to the offense again, you just want to see Kate Klubnik take care of the ball, have more chemistry with his receivers, using his legs like he did. That's something I should have mentioned in the last question. I mean, the fact that he was running the ball better with his legs, kind of adding that dimension. You don't want to see him running it, 15, 20 times like a Haynes King, but you want to see him run it about 7-8 times, pick up some yards, keep the chains moving. And so do all that offensively. You want to see the offensive line continue to protect him well. There were some good pockets and obviously establish the run. Don't get away from it. Again, Adam Randall, has done a good job. Maybe get, Gideon Davidson, David Uzomume, some of these other guys involved. Maybe get a little bit more of a dynamic run game going there as well. You just want to see that offense continue to take steps forward, continue to, find more of a rhythm, make some more big plays. And obviously stop turning the ball over, because that will absolutely kill you.
John Blau covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. Kind enough to join us every single Monday morning at 8:40 to break down all things Clemson Tigers. My man, appreciate it, John Blau. Hopefully we're having a little bit of a different vibe in the conversation next Monday, brother. Appreciate you.
No problem. Appreciate it, Rob.
You got it. Anytime. John Blau of the Post and Courier. We do appreciate his time every single Monday. When we come back, we'll react to John's interview. We'll talk a little bit more college football. We play pause or panic with the NFL. We talk about some NFL headlines and more. All of that comes after a guy whose heart, effort, and grit is never questioned. Lonzo with the Sports Flash.
No, I completely agree with you there. Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. The Atlanta Braves picked up an 8-3 win against Houston yesterday. Atlanta had 11 hits on the day, including multi-hit days from Matt Olson, Ozzy Albies, and Haesung Kim. The Braves kick off a four-game set at Washington tonight. The Atlanta Falcons kept the Vikings out of the end zone in a 22-6 win last night. Bijan Robinson carried the team, racking up 143 yards on 22 carries. Atlanta picked off Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy twice and held Minnesota to just 78 yards rushing. Carolina Panthers are now 0-2 as they fell to the Arizona Cardinals yesterday, 27-22. Bryce Young threw for 328 yards and three touchdowns with one interception. Carolina had just 49 yards rushing on 19 total carries. Kyler Murray had 220 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Hour number three, or four. You know what? The last hour of the Rob Brown Show for today is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.